Welcome to Play Comics, the show where we take comic-based video games and talk about how well, or in this case today, how poorly they go with their comic book origin stories. Today, as always, I'm Chris. I'm here with Sean.
Oh. Yeah, sorry about that.
Evil laugh works well today because Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is dark as fuck in the comics.
In the comics, keyword.
Oh, those comics.
Man. So, the first comic book itself came back, it was like the 84, I believe. It was early 80s.
Yeah.
Like I said, dark as fuck. I think it was in black and white at first.
Yep.
And, man, were they violent as fuck?
Super violent.
Not for kids.
Definitely not for kids.
You know, big ups to Kevin Eastman, who's one of the co-creators of this comic book series.
Oh, gotta love it. It's a great series.
It is. And so basically, people already know the story of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, or several adaptations of the story of how they became the Turtles. Is basically, they were found in a sewer, or they were dropped from a fishbowl, or they're somebody's pet, or whatever.
Many different versions. Everybody puts the little twist on it.
Yeah, but it comes down to they were soaked in ooze or slime or whatever you want to call it. And so was the rat, known as Splinter. And eventually they grew into human form, you might say.
So here's a fun little fact. Do you know where that ooze came from?
TGRI.
Also, it is the same ooze that went into Daredevil.
Into Daredevil?
All over Daredevil and made him get all his powers. Not a super official thing, because there's only so much you can do when you're published by different companies and owned by different companies.
Mm-hmm.
But that was kind of the idea.
I didn't know that.
It's just a fun little thing.
Theirs is more slimy ooze. His is more liquefied, because it's spreading through his eyes, pretty much, right?
Well, you know, you get the stuff that drips down to the sewer.
There you go. It's nasty. Okay, so basically, talk about the turtles themselves. Basically, like I said, there are four normal turtles, pet turtles, whatever it was. No. Because, let's say, take the new movie that came out recently. Like, the first new movie.
There was no movie in Ba Sing Se.
Okay, the first Megan Fox movie. Okay, basically, it turns out that in that story, the four turtles were her pets growing up. And she said, when she found out, when she heard the names, she said, wait a minute, those sound familiar. And she comes to find out they were her pet turtles. So...
See, I can totally get... I don't care whose pet turtles they were. I can get behind them being whoever's pets they want. The fact that she names them after art masters and it somehow fits is a little weird.
Yeah. Well, if you remember the cartoon, the first... Because the first cartoons that came out was basically like a mini-movie. It was several episodes, but it was all connected, though.
Right.
Splinter named them who they were. Because in the cartoon, Splinter, or Hamato Yoshi... as he was his human form, was a fan of art, Renaissance art. So that's how he gave them the names Leonardo, the Donatello, Michelangelo, Raphael. So that's that story of how they became who they were. So do you remember reading, have you read any of the Dark early comics?
A few of them here and there.
I didn't get a chance to read them, but I did bring, and basically while we're recording this, I'll have a picture of this up on the Twitter, is the first issue of their reboot, I guess you might say, from IDW Comics. It's a comic that my wife got me on Valentine's Day, and I still haven't read it. I just glanced through it.
You should get on that.
You think? I just glanced through it. Like, I was showing Chris earlier the pages of where they got soaked in the ooze, but come to find out, like, Splinter, like, scratched a ninja in the eye, bit a cat in the ear who's going to eat one of the turtles in the sewers. I was like, damn. And you see blood and sword and whatever it is. You don't see that you never saw that in the cartoons. Because they want to kid-friendly it.
The cartoon was basically make everything kid-friendly and marketing-friendly.
Yep. Sell toys, sell video games, merch, action figures. But what was the big difference from the Turtles comics and the Turtles cartoon series?
Biggest thing I noticed was the color of their headbands.
Bingo. Because in the comics, if you're an old school, I'll say hardcore fan, because there's different levels of fandom when it comes to certain things. But if you know this stuff, then you consider yourself a fan. And they're all wearing red bandanas. But in the cartoon, we can color code the turtles. Red was
Raphael.
Blue was
Leonardo.
Purple,
Donatello.
Michelangelo was
orange.
Haha. So
see, everybody knows that.
Everybody does.
But you look in the comics, it's wrong.
It's all yeah. Now there was if you want to go understand the history of turtles, there was a documentary. I don't know if you know about this, called Turtle Power.
I haven't seen that one yet.
It's on Amazon. I think you can rent it, or I think it's a DVD of it or something like that. It's pretty good, honestly. I think it came out when it was the 30th anniversary of Turtles, when they first got published or whatever it was. So I think it came out in like 2014. So like Kevin Eastman was interviewed, and talking about the whole transition from the Dark Comics and how Playmates, which was not Playboy, the toy maker, you know, kind of bought, I don't say the rights to them, but, you know, acquired a good bit to make the toys and for distribution and stuff like that.
And basically, that's why you have all the changes for the cartoon.
Yeah. And the change in personality, that's another thing, is like, because dark and gritty in the comics, but you got, you know, Michelangelo.
From understanding, in the comics, you have four Raphaels.
Pretty much. If you look, yeah, but, you know, distinctively, the weapons are different, obviously.
Right, but even as far as personality goes and everything, it's a lot more
gritty.
Everything from everybody.
Gritty, dark. Also, they have no eyes. No eyeball. No pupils. It's just like Scorpion. Blank eyes.
Well, I think that's the thing.
Yeah, that too. Or turtle. Not turtle, but... Let's see here. I'm browsing. If you hear that, that's pretty bright. That's pages of the comic. Oh, look. Dr. Stockman. Dr. Stockman, who later became a fly in the cartoon, at least. Did you ever see the latest Turtles movie?
Before Michael Bay?
No. The second Michael Bay one.
I haven't seen any of the Michael Bay ones because I refuse to watch Michael Bay movies now.
Oh, really?
They're just horrible.
Well, not that bad. I mean, Armageddon was pretty good.
Meh.
First Transformers. I mean, come on. But I'm not going to get into that. So
we'll touch on that one later.
Yeah, later. So let's get into, like I said, the story of it. You're a comic book fan. You know it's dark and violent. You know, they didn't... I don't say they didn't care about people. If you want to, like, summary, your own summary on it. Like, what was your... Like, you know it's violent, but what was your other... Any other takes on it when you read about it or, you know, glanced at them?
It's definitely not made for kids. It's definitely made to be a nice, gritty little comic, kind of in the vein of how the DC movies are going now. Just... Be dark, be violent, do what you gotta do to get the job done, and don't even worry about too much else.
Yeah. So, but now we transition into the cartoon series, which first launched in the late 80s. I think it was on CBS. But, you know, everybody knows the old theme song, which was catchy as hell. You know, if you remember the words to it.
I think everybody remembers the words to it, but we'll spare you the singing because I would do it horribly.
And so would I, and I think if I played it right now, we'd probably get sued for copyrights.
We might do it anyway, though.
Yeah, later. Well, later, if I feel like it. I was bad at karaoke. So, and we know the villains of the Turtle series. Now, I remember seeing Shredder in this one.
Yep, Shredder is definitely in there. Shredder is...
I think they're early days.
...in every single iteration of Ninja Turtles.
Let's see, we got, you know, not villains, but we got Casey Jones in here, April O'Neil, and the human cat, I see.
Some human cat, I don't know who the human cat is.
I think it's the cat that got bit in the ear, bit in the eye. He got transformed because of the ooze.
That would make sense.
Oof. Yikes, that looks scary. But anyway, like I say, Shredder... No, you know his backstory of Shredder, with how he became to be, or do you only remember what the cartoon showed you?
I have seen so many different versions of things lately. Looking at Origins, looking at all that stuff, getting ready for this, that I cannot remember what goes with what now.
Yeah, let's see. And little stuff.
I know that in some version of it, Splinter's master and Shredder were kind of training together, and they chose Splinter's master first to be ahead of Shredder. And Shredder said, "Bitch, that ain't cool."
Yeah.
And went evil.
Yeah.
And Splinter's master went, "I'm going to leave for America." And that's how Splinter got to New York.
Yeah. But basically, Shredder, who was known as Oroku Saki back then in human form, you know, like I said, he's trying to take over the Foot Clan, because the Foot Clan back when was not all evil, because when Splinter was doing it, you know, Hamada Yoshi, you know, he used Art of Enlightenment, or something like that, that's what the Foot was. He was their sensei. But then Shredder was like, you know, like you said, he's going to do what he can to take over, and eventually got Splinter exiled. And then Shredder took it over, 180. As we know, the Foot Clan became evil crime lords, or whatever they were. Excuse me. But, talking about movies now. Now, the first good the first real good Turtles movie was, I think I said good. We saw a different take on how Splinter and Shredder came to be, obviously. You know, in this case, Splinter was just a pet rat in the movie. And then, lo and behold, he, you know, saw his master get killed, who was named Hamada Yoshi. And then he fought Saki, scratched him, you know, got a little scar on his cheek, and then Shredder just sliced his ear off. I was like, oh boy. So, like, what was your take? Would you compare the first movie much better to the comics, or compared to the cartoon?
See, it's really hard for me to say, because growing up, I never read any of the Turtle comics. All I had was that live-action movie from the 90s mm-hmm. and the cartoons.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting here like, okay, this is not quite the same, but as far as I could tell growing up, it was the same. And then over the years, in my mind, they've become the same thing.
Yeah. Well, my take on it is, like, they kind of kept dark, I don't say gritty aspect of it, of the comics, but meshed with the cartoon because they're the color-coded bandanas. They kept that, obviously.
I mean, at that point, you almost had to.
Yeah, exactly. But they kept it kind of dark, but then the second movie that came out, they made it more campy and kind of kiddie-friendly in a sense. You know, introducing Kino, who was a pizza delivery guy who knew martial arts, and say, oh, okay.
Because everybody conveniently knows martial arts.
Well, yeah, I don't. My 6-year-old son does, who's a blue belt. In karate, he can kick both our asses, probably.
Probably.
Anyway, so first movie, say, how would you rate that? If you can rate the first three Turtles movies, like 1 through 10, basically, what first one? How would you rate that one?
First one, I'd say is like a 7 or 8.
Okay,
I love it. It that is my childhood right there.
All
right. The second one, somewhere in the 5 to 7 range. Not quite as good. Weirdly throws an origin in the second movie instead of the first one that we already kind of know about, and it's just a little silly.
Mm-hmm.
Third one, though, just weird. I mean, it's one of those, like, it's so bad it becomes funny.
Yeah, I couldn't watch it again. I think I only watched, like, twice. Back in time, Turtles in Time.
I could watch it. I definitely have to be in the mood
for it. Yeah. Second one I liked. Now, you're saying silly because they incorporate Vanilla Ice in the movie?
Oh, not even that. Okay. That's just product placement.
Okay. Well, Toka and Rezar.
Yeah, though them mostly. You know, just people being bad because it helped with the plot.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. The first one didn't quite have so many stupid people just for the purpose of pushing the plot along.
Yeah. Now, were you upset that, you know, in the first three movies, they didn't incorporate Rocksteady and Bebop in any of the films? No, they waited. Spoiler. They waited until the next branch of Turtle movies to incorporate them.
I didn't know they were in. No, I'm kidding. I really didn't care. Like, I'm not somebody who's going to sit there and say, oh, I have to have these super iconic villains. I have to have these guys in your movie. The villains you have to be good.
Yeah. And Toka and Rezar,
they're not good.
No, they weren't. So, now, let's see. Let's say the minor characters of supporting cast. You got April O'Neil, who was a news reporter, and just was minding her own business, and all of a sudden she's in the midst of trouble, and I'm referencing the first movie here, and was rescued by, apparently, I think it was Raphael, and apparently finds one of his size and keeps it, and he's like, damn it. He's like, and that's another thing, like, you know, in the cartoon, you don't hear him say damn and hell. So in this movie, you know, so you go, damn it, damn it. You know, basically Raphael being Raphael, in a sense. He's a hard ass or a smart ass. Stuff like that. you know, hard-headed, basically. That's how he is. That was his personality, Raphael. He's a hardhead. A hothead, might say. Who was your favorite turtle growing up?
My favorite growing up was Michelangelo. Who? Because I was 8. Everybody's was favorite was Michelangelo.
Now, if you're a smart kid, it'll probably be Donatello.
My wife likes Donatello because she knows how to use a staff.
Oof. Okay, no, I know not to piss her off.
We have one in the house somewhere.
Oh boy.
I don't think she knows where it is, though.
Keep it away from me. But,
now my favorite is Raphael.
Yeah, you and I are in the same boat. Like, I like Michelangelo because he's, like, goofy and funny. Yo, pizza, dude! You know, but then Raphael's like, you know, me now, I'm a smartass. So.
That, and kind of broody, and I'm going to do what needs to get done, whether I actually want to do it or not.
Like, I remember the cartoon, like, the very first episode, where April discovers who the turtles were after being rescued. It's like, you're not human. Bingo. And we're dealing with a real mind here. Mm-hmm. That's Raphael. Like, or he tells Shrek, I remember one line, that, does the phrase go suck a lemon holy meaning for you? I'm like, wow.
So all of that gets us into this game.
You know, the first game was made, I believe, by Ultra.
Which was Secret Konami.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Nintendo 10 game a year rule. Because
10 game a year? What? Yep. What is that?
Early Nintendo on NES, they would only allow publishers to put out 10 games a year. They were trying to stay away from, like, people putting out crap games, like, that helped contribute to the video game crash with the Atari 7200.
Like Superman Kempco version?
Oh, God. Well, see, if you put out a crap game, that's one of your 10. If you put out a really good game, that's one of your 10. You get 10 games for the whole year that you can put out.
Hmm.
It just keeps people from popping out, like, 20, 30 filler titles that are just complete shit. So here's the thing. Ultra and Konami are technically two different publishers because Konami said so.
Okay.
So guess what? You make a new company, you put out, you get 10 more games where you can put out.
Okay. So in a sense, 20 quote-unquote Konami games.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Okay, so let's talk about the first game that came out for Nintendo console, by the way. Now, I believe if I'm looking at the cartridge right, I'm looking at the cartridge, it's reminiscent of the comics.
Yep, they are definitely all in red on the picture. It's something that I never even noticed growing up.
Yeah, me neither. We didn't care about what the cartridge looked like. We just got the game, just played it. That's all we cared about. But the color scheme in the game, basically, it's a totally different story. Yeah,
that one matches up exactly like you'd expect it to. I mean, there's super flashy backgrounds on the intro, where it's orange behind Michelangelo kind of growing up out of his ooze.
Mm-hmm.
Blue behind Donatello. Blue behind Leonardo.
Yeah.
Everybody has the right color. Everything is colored on the character select screen. Just anytime you see it, everything shows the colors right.
Okay, so with any negative aspects of this game that you saw, obviously we recently played it, but what you saw, any negative aspects in the game?
If you're not Donatello, then your weapon sucks ass.
Oh boy. Donatello obviously had the bow staff.
Donatello has the staff, which can go out like twice as far as any other weapon.
Yeah.
It has an arch in it that lets you get enemies that aren't just in a straight direction.
Mm-hmm.
So they're diagonally down, and you do your down attack, he goes out, and then it moves down, and he can get them.
Okay.
Same thing with going up.
Okay.
Raphael's goes about as far as you'd expect a Psy to go, but there is absolutely no benefit to having the Psy out.
No, oh no, okay.
At all.
Alright, Leonardo's katana blades?
Those and Michelangelo's nunchucks, you might as well talk about them at the same time because they're exactly the same.
Oh.
As far as the weapon goes.
As far as it goes out, or just the impact of it? Or
the hitbox and everything in the game, the nunchucks and the swords are exactly the same.
Okay.
So first off, you're already sitting there like, swords are longer than nunchucks. You should get even more range there, but you don't get it. There's absolutely no benefit to nunchucks
mm-hmm.
over swords. I mean, basically,
in the video game, not real life.
Oh yeah, this is all in the video game. Like, I would, if they made the game today with the boxes like that, mm-hmm. I'd expect the Psy to have more impacts and do more damage.
Yeah, definitely. Sharp. They can't be sharp.
They're sharp. It's a smaller hitbox, so you get the trade-off of you can't go out as far, but you'll do more damage.
Gotcha.
And the bow staff would have the drawback of going out farther, but doing less damage. In this game, everything does the same amount of damage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's absolutely no reason to run through a level with Donatello at all, because you want to have his weapon when you want his weapon.
Yeah. Basically, almost like towards the boss levels, almost.
Pretty much. Like, I'll run through the levels up to the sewer, because I can't get past the sewer level without cheating.
Oof. Those sewer levels were a pain.
We'll touch on that later.
Gotcha.
But I'll run through the levels with Michelangelo and Raphael, because for some reason in my mind, I'd rather lose Michelangelo than Leonardo.
Because nobody's understanding what we're talking about. It's like, you play with one turtle, you lose, that turtle's gone until your game resets.
Right. Essentially, you have four lives in the game.
Yeah, that's it.
But the way they do it, it's almost like it's a Marvel versus Capcom, like, tag. So you can swap the turtles whenever you want. Yeah. And everybody has their own independent life bar, which is cool. And, I mean, you can swap in the middle of a boss fight, you can swap pretty much whenever you want.
Yeah, like a Marvel's Capcom or a Tekken Tag or whatever.
So you can run in, you can run through the whole levels with Raphael, and then switch him out for somebody else when you need a weapon that goes out a little farther. You can run and just never touch Donatello until you get to the boss fight or somewhere where you want to hit an enemy from far away.
Mm-hmm. You guys noticed something, right? Go back to the comic real quick. You notice it's like dark and gritty, and you know IDW. I know something in here. What's that say right there?
Oh, that says Nickelodeon.
Okay.
You are not imagining things there.
Yeah. Nickelodeon does not do dark and gritty.
No, but they somehow have their name on it.
Well, because they own the property.
Well, you notice it's on the inside cover, not on the front.
Yeah. If the comic book cover like this is Volume 1, which is called Changes Constant, by the way, from IDW Publishing. They put Nickelodeon on the cover, it probably wouldn't sell as much. Because Nickelodeon, dark and gritty, no.
It's weird.
So, any positive aspect on the game?
It totally matches up with the cartoon, which you'd expect. You know, mm-hmm. outside of all the turtles not being the same usefulness level.
Yeah.
You've got Bebop and Rocksteady.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty early in the game, so pretty early you're getting into characters that you know. You have Foot Clan all over the place.
Of course.
At this point, you can't tell if they're robots or people. Because at some point in the cartoon, they decided all the Foot Clan soldiers had to be robots because that's less violent.
Yes.
I don't know.
Who knows?
Andy's parents are weird, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Being able to switch turtles whenever you want is pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. So, what would your grade be overall?
See, as horrible as I am at this game, I do love it. It's one that I keep coming back to, and I really enjoy playing it.
Yeah.
Up until the sewer level, because I don't get why turtles can't touch seaweed. And there's absolutely no real life science-wise how seaweed can be electrified.
It's a video game.
I don't know.
It's like Hollywood does things in movies, you think, wait, that can't happen in real life. It's Hollywood.
It's probably just one of those things where I decided I hated it because when I was a kid, I couldn't get past it.
That's probably it. So, we say like a 6, maybe?
So, I mean, solid 7.
Solid 7, okay. Good.
Because it really is fun.
Like I said, you started playing it, but you like it, the aspect of it. You know, it's tape on the moon. You know, some negative aspects, but like I said, you start playing it, so you can't really... when you play a game further and further along, you play so much, you can probably give a better grade, because you get a better understanding of how things work.
Right.
And stuff like that.
I mean, there's the weird part of the level... That one infamous level where you can't jump over the gap, but you can magically just walk over it.
Okay. That's...
I'll find a picture of that
video
part.
Game magic for you, I guess.
I'll find a picture of it. It's something weird. And like,
I'm sure you can find a screenshot somewhere.
Yeah. Like, I've grabbed a book out of the flea market of, like, video game tips and tricks, and one of the things in there is telling you that don't try to jump over this hole, just walk over it. So, I mean, you can go on and on about...
People try to jump over and they just fall through it.
Exactly. You can go on and on about how GameFAQs didn't exist and how is anybody supposed to know that, but it was published in a book.
Yeah, so basically these are, I guess, the early form of Easter eggs, you might say. Those kind of books. Those game cheat codes or whatever. Basically, that was basically a precursor for Easter eggs.
You had that. You had Nintendo Power.
Oh, God. Was it Game Pro?
Game Pro and Game Informer. Man, Game Pro. Whenever they started.
Man, Game Pro, that was a magazine back then. Do they still around?
I don't know which ones are still around because I play so far behind, I don't care.
Who cares? But let's jump into, I guess, Turtles 2. Turtles 2, the arcade game, as it was called. Now, this was really based and good job on the cartoon. The graphics on it, especially for a Nintendo game, was pretty damn good. My opinion. Probably one of the best ones they made.
I can sum up Turtles 2, the arcade game, perfectly with this. It's exactly what you would expect the NES to be able to handle with an arcade game port like that.
Mm-hmm. One aspect of it, you know, every Turtle fan knows about the Turtles is their love for
pizza.
And now they're not, obviously they're Turtles, so obviously they're not normal when it comes to pizza flavors. As you learn, I guess, I vividly remember, let's see, anchovies and peanut butter. Or,
anchovies are halfway normal.
I don't
even think people like.
If you melt the peanut butter, it might be good.
I've never had pizza.
Peanut butter.
How was it?
Good. You said that place perfectly Frank's. Pretty good.
Or was pretty good.
Was. Well, yeah, they moved to a new location.
Moment of silence.
But they moved, moved to a new location, though. So they'll be open again. Anyway, but they had a weird combination of concoctions when it came to pizza. But it's like, they couldn't get enough of it. Like, you know, any chance they got. You know, in the first movie, can you remember who they ordered their pizza from? Who Michelangelo ordered from?
I want to say it was Domino's.
It was Domino's. They had the whole 30 minutes of, you know, or discount rule.
Yep, that was still a thing.
Yeah. But the funny thing, like, okay, it was like, there's a one something and a third. One something and a third. This is New York City, by the way. So, as it was a third. Down here, dude! Right down the sewer.
That's one thing I really liked about the game, too. The first Turtles game for Nintendo. You could exploit the mess out of respawning stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Go down into one of the sewers. Mm-hmm. Once you find one that has pizza right by an entrance.
Oh, yeah.
Jump in there, get your pizza, jump out, and then just keep repeating that until all your turtles are filled back up with health.
Damn, now you might want to play this game now.
We'll play it when we're done.
All right. So we're not going to film it. But, That'd help.
That's something we might think about doing in the future.
That might be interesting, like a live video feed, like a video podcast or something like that. It's like, hey, I don't know. Oh, you mother.
At least some gameplay video of us playing, even if we have to do it on our own.
Now, one thing, I'm going to put this, put a picture of this on the podcast Twitter page, is my arm. My right arm is, you know, Chris describe.
It is.
Chris, please describe what is on my right arm as of right now.
Right now, it is some Ninja Turtle panels.
Yeah, basically, I have a tattoo. I've started to get a sleeve, and I have essentially the main characters, you might say. Okay. So basically, I have Rocksteady, Bebop, I have Splinter, I got Shredder. Put it like that. There you go. Now Shredder and all Turtles, which was what I asked for. So I got a lot of great comments on it. Like, hey, that line work is sick. You know, proves how much of a nerd I am. I get Turtles tattoos, and eventually I'm getting, you know, from our last episode, Batman. I'm getting a Batman attached to it, so it'd be one big comic book on my sleeve. On my arm, excuse me. So we're going to post that on the Twitter page. But you've seen, like, fandoms go out of control, especially with Turtles.
Yeah.
No. Now I'm not the one for cosplay. I don't go that far. I mean, have you seen any weird cosplay or fandoms kind of go above?
I mean, if you're going to go to all the trouble to make a good Turtle costume, or make a Shredder costume, I think people pretty much just appreciate all the work you put into it.
True. So, we're diverting back. Graphics on it were great for a Nintendo game. Like I say, from our game port. I can't remember the storyline for it. I mean, basically it was going to Shredder and the Technodrome, in a sense. Basically, it was a cartoon storyline. You know, now, if you remember, I remember in this one, they had different color foot soldiers in this one. Yeah, you had your purple one, you had your blue one, white one, red one. I think was it yellow and orange or something like that? I don't remember. But also, I think I remember there was a Pizza Hut reference in there, which is so funny. They had a Pizza Hut reference in the game, but the order from Domino's in the first movie. It was kind of funny. But,
And the different color foot clan is something you can kind of look past, because it's just a way to identify how strong each enemy is and what kind of weapons they have.
That's the thing. I think the blue one was throwing ninja stars or something like that. Or
I think the blue one had swords. The orange one was throwing something. The white ones. No, hey, one was a ninja.
White was a ninja. One of them had ninja stars or whatever it is. But let's see. The game was great. Yeah, Mauser. The Mauser's in there. You know.
You didn't have quite as many enemies on the screen in the arcade game, but technical limitation from the Nintendo, so there's not really much you can do about
it. But the boss levels, you know, you had different bosses. You know, Rocksteady Bebop, yeah, Baxter, obviously Shredder, duh, Krang, you know, I guess, I can't remember who else was it, was as far as boss levels. I don't know if Rat King was in there, or I'm not really sure. But anyway, so I rate that above the first one myself, being a little biased there as far as gameplay.
Most of my experience with that has been playing the actual arcade game instead of this one, because I have an arcade emulator.
I need to find one of those.
We'll get you hooked up on that later.
Okay, there. So
that will not be linked to in the show notes, because I like not having copyright stuff thrown at me.
I know that feeling. Anyway, so the third game, I don't think I ever played the third one.
We'll get on the third one in more detail later.
Okay.
Because I haven't played that one too much either.
All right. So what else, what else want to throw in right now as far as Turtles?
I mean, this first Turtles game is, it's one of those games that everybody for regular Nintendo seemed to have. And if they didn't have it, one of their friends had it. So growing up, we had this game.
True.
Absolutely. Obviously. No problem.
Yeah, so you either had it or you borrowed it.
It's one that I've find at the flea market all the time. I want to say I have like 3 or 4 copies in my house right now, because I'm really trying to not buy it.
He's not kidding.
But when they have it out there for $1, or they have it in there for a lot with other things, and I don't want them to break up the lot, you know, you just end up with 3 or 4 copies of this and 7 copies of Sonic 2.
Oh, man. Now, do you think, okay, with the way this is 2017, obviously Nintendo came out, you know, 80s and
early 85. This game was either 88 or 89.
Do you think these games, right, these, you know, cartridge games, are worth more than what they're originally sold for, or what you originally bought them for, if you say put it on eBay or something like that?
Oh, I mean, they're definitely less. You're buying these things for like $50 or $60 back then. Turtles is consistently between 10 and, I've seen people buy it for 20, but that's mostly people who don't know what they're doing. This first one is definitely on the lower end. The second one is usually a little bit more, but not enough to really worry about. The third one I haven't looked at for a while, because I haven't seen it out anywhere, so I presume it's more.
Now, is there any avenues of the Turtles that you like to see be adapted that they haven't, that hasn't been done yet? Like, for me personally, I just thought of this, them doing an anime of the Turtles. You know, and keep it to the comics.
See, I would love to see an animated, any way you want to do it,
yeah,
actual comic adaptation, instead of saying, this is how the 80s cartoon was, we have to keep it kid-friendly.
Yeah. Because, like, you could put this, like, just straight to video, don't put it on any TVs, or
Netflix should get on that.
There you go.
They're doing Castlevania thing.
Castlevania anime, by the way. I'm watching that. That was a great game, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
But, I'm trying to think. It's like, you think there'd be so much to talk about, but it's almost tough to think of stuff when it comes to Turtle, because it's almost feel you repetitiously, not even a freaking word, talking stuff, same stuff over and over again, but because it's tough to think of new stuff.
The other problem is we are going to hit the other games later, and we don't want to talk about all the good stuff now.
No. But mainly talking about the first game, in a sense. But with that being said, I mean, you know, me, my two fandoms, you might say, are Turtles and Batman. And another thing is they did a crossover comic a couple years ago with Batman and Turtles. You know, it first broke up into six comics, but eventually released a full book, basically, of all the stories. I have that. I have not read it yet.
You should get on that.
Thank you very much. You sound like my wife. It's like, I bought you these comics. You haven't read them yet. I'm like, shut up. She has manga books, and she claims she read them all. She has like a shelf, like, wider than what you have right there with your video games. It's wider. and shorter.
We'll throw up a picture of that, so when we talk about my game shelf, you actually have a reference for what we're talking about.
Yeah. But I don't remember seeing April O'Neil in the first one, or am I missing it?
She's in the first game.
Okay.
When you run into Bebop and Rocksteady both times in that first little level,
mm-hmm.
she's tied up off to the side. The first time you run into them, she's up on the top.
Yeah, that's right.
And you're fighting the one of them.
I think it's like in the building, like a barn building or something like that, wasn't it?
No, that's the second time.
Second time.
First time is down in the sewers.
That's right. If you don't know how to play these games, they are hard to beat in the as far as the Bebop and Rocksteady ones.
Yeah, I mean, we're still kind of coming off the arcade quarter muncher mindset. And that's what they made. Nintendo's games didn't really have a lot of memory. You couldn't make a really long game,
mm-hmm.
so you made a hard game. Because you wanted people to feel like they got their money's worth out of it.
Exactly.
Either you make a game replayable, like sports games where you can go back and play with your friends all the time, or you make a game hard.
Gotcha.
Because you don't have enough memory to make it long.
This is 8-bit, so...
The second time you run into April, after you get her untied,
mm-hmm.
you kind of get forced into the dam.
Ooh.
And if you're dumb like me, and you have three turtles with low life, you start running through the dam with three turtles with low life and Donatello.
And damn.
It's definitely not the best way to go through the damn dam.
Damn it. Whoops. Especially what you're thinking when you're like, okay, three low living turtles and one full life. Okay.
It's kind of weird because you can go in through the whole rest of the first level
mm-hmm.
and like, it's not even really linear. You can go in the sewers. If you can get to that sewer spot, you can go in it.
Yeah.
And there are some where you kind of have to go through a level to get to the other parts, but you can skip basically whatever you want as long as you can still physically get through the level.
I think, if I remember correctly, the gameplay part is the graphics are, you know, okay, but the map part of it, mm-hmm. when you're trying to transfer, it's like eye in the sky kind of look.
Yeah, it's top-down Zelda style.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get run over by Foot Clan tanks.
And you
instantly die, which, you know, as much as it sucks, I'm cool with that, because you're getting run over by a tank.
Yep.
How do you, you know, say, oh no, I should only lose life from that?
Turtle pancake.
You can skip most of the warehouse buildings, because you don't have to go through them for anything.
Unless you know some secrets that we don't know.
Yeah.
We can look up, and okay, no, oh, that, no, no, no.
But once you get to the dam, you're kind of stuck being at the dam.
Damn.
Exactly.
Excuse me. So, any other goodies you want to throw into this?
Definitely go play this game. Definitely read the comics. Definitely watch the cartoon. The original 80s one. They're all good in their own special way. I feel like this game is a nice bridge between the two.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good place to learn about turtles as they exist in the cultural and collective mindset. But it's not really much more than an introduction to the turtles in the comics, because there's so much that they changed for the cartoon, and the game was clearly made to be with the cartoon.
Exactly. Because, you know, keep it kid-friendly, you'll sell more games, make the company more money.
Right. Nintendo was still a kid thing back then. There were not really games for adults.
No. Not like now.
Well, I mean, there were, but yeah, we don't need to get into those 8-bit porn games.
What?
They exist.
What the? Oh, wait, hold on. 8-bit porn games?
Yep.
Okay, I'm confused here. Here we go.
Some people are weird.
I guess.
They made games with 8-bit porn.
What, did Leisure Suit Larry start out on Nintendo or something?
No, it was Peekaboo Poker, things like that. 8-bit boobies.
Okay. And on that note, speaking of boobies,
turtles are a lot better.
April did have a nice crack in the cartoon. Just saying. That's it. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, then.
Yeah. Alrighty, then.
We're going to get to much better Turtles games.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it was a Turtles 2 Arcade, Turtles in Time.
We'll get into all of those a whole lot better. Hyperstone Heist and Turtles in Time will kind of hit at the same time. Because they're basically the same game.
Yeah, Turtles Tournament Fighters.
all three of those in the same time, because yeah, why not?
Why not? So I played the SNES Konami version. Ha!
I've got the Super Nintendo and the Genesis version. We'll magically somehow get the Nintendo version and play it real quick, but if you can play a Super Nintendo version or something, why play the regular Nintendo one?
Yeah. Why not?
People want it because it's expensive, not because it's good.
Exactly. So, I got nothing else to add, I guess.
I think that'll about wrap it up for today.
Holy shit.
It's hard when you have a game, we know we're getting to these other ones real quick.
Exactly.
Because these games did not wait a long time before they came out.
I think like a year, 2 years apart, probably.
Yeah, by the time this game came out, the Turtles arcade game was already in the arcades. Ported into regular Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to oversimplify it, but you're not making a whole new game. You're just taking a game and making it work on the Nintendo. It still definitely takes work. It still definitely takes skill. But you do have a big head start.
Exactly. Alright, so on that note, I guess we'll kind of cut it loose here.
We'll play a little of our outro music.
Which I don't know what that is.
Yeah, we'll get there eventually.
Okay. So, that being said,
until next time, I'm Chris.
I'm Sean. And if you want to follow us on Twitter, it is
Play Comics Cast.
Not podcast. Play Comics Cast.
It is Play Comics Cast.
I don't know how many times I'm going to reiterate that.
Every single time.
Okay. And then, if it falls personally, I'm at Sean Sin 1182. It's S-E-A-N-S-Y-N 1182.
Technically, I'm the Ichiban, T-H-E-I-C-H-I-B, and I'm pretty much just using the show's podcast Twitter handle now,
and because
it's all the same stuff anyway, so why not?
And speaking of Twitter, I did tweet up, you saw the tweet I put out yesterday. I tweeted out to Nerdist and Chris Hardwick, who was the founder of Nerdist. You know, I listen to his podcast and watch his show. You know, he's the biggest nerd, popular nerd out there. So I said, you know, invite him to listen eventually, if he does. Be nice to get a little endorsement from him. Not financially, just a fellow nerd endorsement, you might
say. Although, if you want to do that too, we're not going to stop you.
No, if anybody wants to sponsor us, hey. So, like I said, I'm Sean.
I'm Chris.
We're out of here.
We'll catch you next time.
Bye-bye.
Play Comics is recorded in beautiful Charleston, South Carolina. Production, editing, all that fun stuff is handled by me. Music is handled by Audionautics because I'm not good enough to make that kind of thing. You can check us out at Play Comics Cast on Twitter, playcomics.com for the website, iTunes, Stitcher, all the normal podcast catching places. Go ahead and hit us up there. Give us a review. 5 stars preferably, but you know, let us know what you think of the show. We want to hear from you. We want to hear everything that you think can make the show better. All that kind of fun stuff. So, if you have anything you want to say to us, let us know. We have some big things coming up in the future.